The Parshas Behar opens with mitzvahs that seem very, very far from our reality. Shemitah is something, if we live in Chutz La'aretz, we don't get to keep. Machlokes, Rishonim, Gemara, Rishonim, whether Shemitah, even for those who live in Eretz Yisrael, whether Shemitah nowadays is Doraisa Drabanan. But then after talking about the seven-year cycle, Behar moves on to the 50-year cycle. The mitzvah of Yovel, the Gemara is clear. Gemara Maseches Erechin is clear that Yovel has not applied in thousands of years. Yovel stopped applying most likely near the end of the Bais Rishon period, while the base, the first Bais Mikdash was still standing, but Yovel already ceased to apply because Yovel only applied, the Gemara tells us, when you have the majority of the Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. It's been many, many, many centuries since that was the case. Some poskim have begun to talk about maybe we're getting to the point where for the first time millennia, maybe we'll be back having Rov Yoshevei Aleh. So that's an interesting question. Not for right now. But we look at Behar and we say, is Yovel and all the dinim that emerged that spring from Yovel, which is, you know, much of the rest of Behar, this hasn't applied practically, you know, in for most of Jewish history. And yet, as we've seen so many times in the past, in the able hands of the Sefer Achinuch, you have a mitzvah which practically, specifically, halachically doesn't apply to us, but the concepts behind it very much do, and actually have an extraordinary relevance. And perhaps that's something essential, that how HaKadosh Baruch Hu crafted the Torah and crafted the mitzvahs which he gave us. So let's take a look. I want to actually, if we have time, take a look at two consecutive mitzvahs and some of the Sharashim for each. And maybe they'll hang together in a coherent way, two sides of a coin. Now we will begin with mitzvah Shin Lamed, which is the mitzvah of counting to Yovel. The Safarta L'cha Sheva Shabbosol Shanim. And the mitzvah to count seven sets of seven Shemitah cycles. And that leads up to ultimately year 50, which is Yovel. So the Sefer Chinuch begins, as he always does, by defining what the mitzvah is. Lemnos Hashanim, Sheva Sheva Hashanim Hashnas. You're able to count a series of sets of seven until you get to Yovel. That's in Eretz Yisrael. Seven times seven. And he goes on to say, this mitzvah, zos ha-mitzvah, and this sefira, this counting of the Shemitah years until Yovel, nimseres lebeis nagadol, the Sanhedrin. It's not a chovas hayachid. It's not a chiv upon every individual Jew. This is sort of akin to the way in which the Sanhedrin handles, you know, setting when Rosh Chodesh is, Kiddush HaChodesh, and Sanhedrin handles determining whether there's going to be an Adar Sheni or not. The Ibra Hashana, Sanhedrin handles counting the years and determining, charting the course to Yovel. And he goes on to say that this whole process of counting leads up to Ad Shanas HaYovel, leads up to the Yovel year. Similar to the way we count Yimei HaOmer. V'yachakach mekadshin shnas hachamishin b'shvisas haaretz v'lekros deror l'chol ha'avadim v'ashvachos. And then the outcome of this all, the final step after counting year one, year two, Shemitah number one, Shemitah number two, Shemitah number six, Shemitah number seven, and finally say, and this year is the Yovel year. And it has kedusha with shvisas haaretz. It has many of the aspects of Shemitah's karkos in a Shemitah year applied Yovel as well. And not only does the land rest, but the people go free. All the avadim ivrim, all the amos ivrios, they all go free. And not only do the people return to the original free state, all of the farmland in Eretz Yisrael that may have been sold during a Yovel regime, during the first couple of centuries of Jewish history, when Yovel applied, if I sold a farm, it wasn't really a sale. It was really just, it was essentially a rental. I sold it, if Yovel was 30 years away and I sold you my field, that really meant I was renting to you for 30 years. Because when Yovel came, the lands returned to their ancestral line. If I'm from Shebet Zevulun, so I own farmland in the area of the state of Zevulun within Eretz Israel, so I might sell my land to anyone from any Shevet, but when Yovel comes, it comes back to my family, comes back to Shevet Zevulun. So what's this all about? What's this all about? Nisharosha mitzvah al tzad apshat. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, and right away he tips you off. He says the shorosh mitzvah on the pshat level, because later on he's going to get to a rare, uncharacteristic journey into sod, into Kabbalah, which we will not delve into. He talks about the number 7 being a very significant number of sense of completion. It points out throughout Tanakh. But let's focus on what he has to say al derech pshat. Sharotza Hashem lahodia la'amo ki akol shelo. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that his nation knows that we know that the universe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Uvasov yashuv kol davar la'asher chafetz hu litna b'tchila. Things ultimately come back to he who was supposed to have, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have it from the outset. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Shevet Zevulun to have this acre of land. It's going to ultimately revert back to being Shevet Zevulun. Kadosh Baruch Hu want me to be a Ben Chorin, want me to be a free man, I will ultimately revert back to that state. Ki lo ha'aretz. K'mash ha'kosev, ki li ha'aretz. So the Pasuk says in this context, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the world is God's because God created it. So he says, number one, the mitzvah of Yovel is Shemitah, every Shemitah, in a sense, is a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and that Kili Ha'aretz, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say this year, although, you see this land as yours, but for this year, everyone can eat the fruits of this land. But Yovel takes it to a whole new level. You see, sort of thinking about ideas more broadly, it reminds us that everything ultimately will be as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Bechira, that's a profound philosophical point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Bechira Chafshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and chose to give human beings degrees of freedom. By divine design, we have free will, and we make decisions. Sometimes they're good decisions. Sometimes they're decisions that, in retrospect, we're not so proud of. But and at the same time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of Bechira Chafshis, he's also guiding the world towards its ultimate state. Now, in the larger sense, we're going to get to Yemos the Mashiach, whether Zachu or Lo Zachu, as the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Sadiches. And that sort of captured the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us freedom of choice, but at the same time, he has a certain vision for how things will end, and that's how things will ultimately, work out according to divine plan. That sort of that dynamic is captured by the mitzvah of Yovel. That people make their decisions, and maybe I sold myself as an Eved Ivri, or maybe I got sold as an Eved Ivri because of the crime that I committed, or maybe I sold away a piece of ancestral land, but ultimately comes back, Yovel comes, and everything comes back to the ideal, divinely planned state. It's a halacha, which paints a very powerful picture, very powerful analogy for this yisod and emunah, for this sense of emunah and bitachon. That yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives human beings bechir chavshas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the universe, and things will work towards, ultimately, towards the divine plan. A halacha which teaches a hashkafic lesson. V'im mitzvah zu shel svira shana shana, then he says the following. This is very beautiful, but seems like a little highfalutin. Hashkafa, sort of abstract philosophy about imuna, bitachan, and divine will. And then he turns a corner and makes it intensely practical. The im mitzvah zu shel svira shana shana, through this mitzvah of counting year by year, in other words, we don't just get to Yovel once every 50 years. We only experience Yovel when it comes around, once every half a century. And many people will only live through one Yovel. Now, how much of an impact is this going to have on my attitudes, my thinking, I'll have Yovel once. Maybe if I'm Zoch, I'll have it twice. Right? That depends when you're born. Maybe if I live long, I may have Esim Shana, and I was born right before Yovel, I'll get three. Right? That person could live a 90-year life and only hit Yovel once in year 45. Yovel is not, you know, happening all the time. How is Yovel going to impact me? Once, two, three times in a lifetime? He says, no, but you count. There's a mitzvah of counting. So you're counting every year. Every year the Beis Din is counting. 30 years towards Yovel. 31 years towards Yovel. 32 years towards Yovel. So every year there's a reconnection to this ideal in the midst of the messiness of the years leading up to Yovel. And then he says, you know what that does? He doesn't just say, oh, so mamela, it's machazik my larger understanding of divine will. No. He says, it actually impacts me practically. Yachiku, through keeping the Yovel ideal, the Yovel concept in mind, through annual counting, Yachiku atzmo shel yigzlu karka chaveram velo yachmedua belibam. By keeping the Yovel idea very much in our consciousness, it's going to enable me to not steal and not covet. This is not just a question of philosophy. Philosophy impacts behavior. Practical, nuts and bolts, nitty gritty. Am I honest or do I steal? Am I focused on what I have or am I always busy looking over my shoulder to see what's on the other side of the fence, what the other guy has? The Gezel and the Chemda, all those very practical nisyonos that we deal with at home, on the street, at the office, where do I get the strength to be omed in the practical day-to-day nisyonos of honesty? B'daitam ki akol shav l'asher chafetz akel shetila. Because if I'm mechazik my emunah, Emunah isn't only abstract. The stronger my real awareness that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that gives me koach to be omen in the practical nisyonos of life. As the Chazon Ish teaches in the second parak of Emunah Bitachon, you know, Emunah is the abstract belief. I believe X, Y, Z. And Bitachon is that belief applied to life. Some of us had a chance to get together and learn this before Pesach. That's exactly what the Sefer HaChinuch is writing here, centuries before the Chazon Ish. Yes, Yovel, this abstract mitzvah that applied once upon a time, that come up a few times in a person's life. It's mechazik, sort of abstract ideas that Kadosh Baruch Hu ultimately runs the world. Things in the long run, whether people make good decisions or bad decisions, in the long run, things work out the way Kadosh Baruch Hu wants them. That's intensely practical. Because the more I really internalize it, it's not just in my head, but it's in my kishkas, the more I'm able to own b'nisayon and say, I wish I had X, and I wish I had Y, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he has it, then that's off limits. I'm just going to move on. I'm going to figure out another way to make parnasa. I'm going to figure out another way to make ends meet without doing the wrong things, ki li ha'aretz, because the world is God's. So that's a beautiful picture, and it's a very practical picture. And I think this already is something to take away. I want to add one more layer. I want to zoom out one more layer. Because what we just saw here is an example, a powerful example, an example of how emunah could be a source of practical chizuk. Is how strengthening my emunah in my head, in my heart, is a tool in my toolbox of how am I practically omed b'nisayon? How do I push back when the Yetzer Hara comes knocking? So one major tool is emunah. Turn the page, and in the companion mitzvah, mitzvah shin lamed aleph, there's another aspect of Yovel in which the Sefer HaChinuch in a few pithy lines presents another tool. So we can walk away from this evening with a pair of tools that Bahar gives us. Again, Yovel, to end, to come back to where we started, Yovel seems so abstract that it hasn't applied in millennia. But the ideas that it gives us, what's the other tool that Yovel gives us? To be Omid B'Nisayon in practical, everyday, 2020 Tavshin Pei Nisyonos. The next mitzvah is Tkiya Shofar B'Yom HaKippurim Shel Yovel. So we have a minig, Klal Yisrael has a minig every year to blow shofar the end of Yom Kippur, and that some suggest that the reason for it is it's a zecher to this din daraisa. The din daraisa is not to blow shofar every year Yom Kippur, to blow shofar once every 50 years on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. And that was meant to signify that now everyone's going to go free. That now all the avadim, ivrim, leave their masters. Now it's time to go free. But what's with the Tkiya Shofar? Interesting. Tkiya Shofar Rosh Hashanah is about Yom Hadin usually, about Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it have to do with the freeing of the slaves? So take a look. Take a look at the Mishnah Rashi HaMitzvah. It's a tough Laman Aleph. What's some of the idea behind the mitzvah? Lefi sheyadua ki kol ha-shofar te'orer lev b'nei ha-adam. Im l'shalom, im la-milchama. We know that the sound of a shofar is a powerfully inspiring sound for all sorts of things, for peace, for war, but it evokes powerful emotions. Now, in Rosh Hashanah, it's meant to evoke powerful emotions of tshuva. But he says here we're channeling it in a different way. We're harnessing it in the following way. We're about to ask the master to let his Eved leave. He's been with him for a long time. It may have been decades. That's tough. And now just let him walk out the door. You can't keep him any longer. I've been relying on him. I'm going to go without him. And we see in the Vim that this was often a very difficult, during the Tkufa of Avadim Ivrim, to let the Eved Ivri go was very, very difficult. This is an incredible Nisayon. Alkein la'orer lev habrios al ha'inyon ulechazek nafsham, to wake people up to the need to fulfill this mitzvah, and to give them chizuk, lechazek nafsham, lehazhirem al ha'mitzvah, b'shamam es kol ha'shofar. How is a shofar going to help me, give me chizuk? So listen to what he says. Bir Oz, you know where I derive chizuk? Bir Osam ki davar hashavahu b'chol ha'aretz v'sha'a kol osam kein. Because it's not just a private thing. There's a shofar that the whole town hears. And that reminds me that everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing this mitzvah. Yes, it's hard for me. But I'm doing it together with everyone else. It's hard for everyone. We're going to do it together. Wow. Ein davar sheichazek libos b'nei hadam kama masa harabim. He says, there's nothing to give chizuk for me to do something tough. There's nothing quite like knowing that I'm doing it together with other people. U'kamamar ha'chacham tzar rabim nechama. The proverb, right? Commiserating. That the tsar of others is a little is a chatzi nechama for me, knowing that I have partners in my misery, that gives me great chizuk to do the hard thing. I know that other people are also struggling, other people are also doing this hard thing. And he says the truth is it's what's true for the adam is true for the eved too. It may often be difficult for the eved. Eved be also misarer latzeis kachol ha'avadim mitachas edei rabba asher ohev. He may often not be so willing to leave. The shama kol shofar. He also will hear the shofar and know that he needs to do what's birshus adon hakol. So the Sefer HaChinuch, in the course of two mitzvahs that seem so abstruse, gave us a pair of powerful tools for being mechazik ourselves to do the right thing, which is in every situation. There are things which are tough. Now there are things which particularly prey upon our minds. And the two tools are chizuk of emuna and working with a team. To do something by myself, and you just have to do the right thing without an awareness of this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's exceptionally hard. But to know that I'm working hard on a difficult thing together with others who are also working on this difficult thing is incredible chizuk in that. And there's a world of difference between saying, I need to do this, I'm not allowed to do that, and saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me to do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to rise above doing that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care. Yes, I'm concerned about how is this going to work out. Efforts are on me, results are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these twin tools are the chizuk that the parsha of Yovel, which only comes up once every 50 years in certain centuries, it can give us in situations that we come across every single day. Rabbi Osei, thank you so much for joining tonight.